All right, it is Monday, which means it is time for our weekend recap episode again. Hello and welcome to this edition of Side Retired. It is Dylan Campion joined alongside Nico Fernandez and Henry Kalani. And boys, I don't know if you can't tell, but my voice sounds kind of shot. So hopefully I do as little talking on this episode as possible. And we just run around Major League Baseball. But how are we doing?
Can't complain, bro. I mean, had a tough loss in club baseball, and the Red Sox seem to, fallen back to earth over the last few weeks. So, not the best, but I'm ready for another episode.
Well, our big thing that we do here on Sunday nights heading into Monday mornings, and this is officially technically the end of week four in Major League Baseball slash the beginning of the fourth full week in Major League Baseball. The phrase is simple. It's not a big deal, but, and then we roll from there. I know the story I want to start with, but we're going to start in the exact opposite area of baseball, and then we'll get to the NL East. So let's start with it's not a big deal, but the Houston Astros might actually be bad this year.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that they were going to fall off. One of my hot takes that I actually agree with James on at the beginning was that they weren't going to make the playoffs. But I don't think anyone saw what they are like this year. I mean, again, it's just a big question of how much like rope are you going to give them, because they have not looked great. Like, they feel like they just have no shot right now. They went, and I'm pretty sure they got swept by the Nationals this weekend. They just don't look very good. I think that their bullpen and their pitching rotation is a big problem. Jose Altuve looks like him and maybe Yordan are like the only bright spots of the team. Like, Jose Altuve is having another great year, but this team's just not firing. Like, I think they're right now have the second worst record in baseball to the White Sox. Like, again, when we're talking about the fact that we said that and the A's aren't in that conversation, it's not looking good. So again, the question is, how long can they be this bad for us to be like, okay, right off their season? Because it's starting to get to that question.
Two quick factual corrections before I give it to Henry. Astros lost two out of three of the Nationals, but did get swept by the Atlanta Braves this week. And it is the second worst record in the American League. They're also still slightly ahead of the Rockies and the Marlins, but I digress, Henry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still honestly in the mode of I'll believe it when I see it. We've seen them obviously never get off to this slow of a start, but we've seen them get off to slow starts. And frankly, it's just generational trauma at this point. But I'll once the you give me the All-Star break and they're still like, I'll say below 500. That's when I'll start to think, oh, they might be cooked. But until then, some of the players on this team are just simply too good to be this bad for their entire season.
Number two, it's not a big deal, but Jack Leiter's major league debut.
So I watched it actually. I was doing my paper for my nice little comparative political systems class, and I was bored out of my mind. I was like, oh, I'll take a break by watching Leiter start. And to be honest, it was exactly what you expect out of a rookie like Jack Leiter making a start. First inning, you see exactly why he was a top pick in the draft. He looked amazing. Everything was working. His changeup looked great. And then the second inning, you kind of saw why he's taken him a little bit to get to the big leagues and why there's been some question marks around him. He went, couldn't really find zone. He was really just missing middle. And again, you see now the same thing that happened with Jackson Holliday a little bit. You see that jump that happens when you go from the minors to the bigs. And it was the pitches that you'd get away with, you can't get away with anymore. Jack Leiter threw a ball that was 4 inches down on Riley Green, and because it was in his nice low and in swing zone, it would have been called a ball, but he went and hit it for a double. That's the type of things that he's gonna have to get to adjust. But again, for me, the biggest takeaway was he has the stuff. Like, I remember first inning, I literally told him, I go, I don't know how the rest of his thing's gonna go. I just know he has the stuff. His changeup looks like it could be an amazing pitch if he goes to up as number two. But again, he still needs a lot of development. I think a lot of like the word around people was that it was always gonna be a spot start and he was gonna get sent down no matter how well or how bad he did. And that's exactly what it was. It was a spot start. But again, he got there. At the end of the day, there's so many people who don't get there, and he got there, and he looked, he had the stuff, is the one thing I'll take away from it.
Henry?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I saw some comments being like, oh, he did so bad that he got sent out. No, it was always going to be a spot start. It was, that was fine. I mean, yeah, he got touched up pretty bad, but at the same time, it's not something that necessarily would have shocked me. Obviously, there was that ball to deep center field that technically wasn't touched, so, but really should have been counted as an error. But at the same time, if you're giving up balls to the warning track at dead center in Comerica, that means they're touching you up pretty bad. So it wasn't a great start, but I agree with Nico. He showed signs of why he was such a highly touted prospect.
Topic number three. It's not a big deal, but the Chicago White Sox might be the worst team in baseball history.
Not they there are, yet, but
they are 3-18.
They're just boring.
That's not boring.
No, we said this about the A's last year. Like, you'll run into 50 wins no matter what.
They're on pace for 23.
So were the A's last year. Like, no, they're just straight up just like a mind-numbing watch.
The thing about the Chicago White Sox, and I can say, apart from, like, again, the A's and like other bad teams that we've seen, every fifth day I'm excited to see Garrett Crochet start. Like, he's an exciting guy to watch. He's got like 41 Ks through his first four starts, which I'm pretty sure is almost unheard of. Like, just, he's pitching great. And again, at least having a bright spot. Like, my whole thing is, if you're going to be a bad team, at least have something that's fun. Like, that's what pisses me off about the A's. Like, last year, like, what was fun about the A's? This year, at least, like, every day when I look on my ESPN app or the Score app, and I see like Garrett Crochet starting, I'm like, oh damn, let's see how he does today. So like, again, they're bad, but they still have a couple pieces that you can build off of. It's just, where do you go from here is the big question, because again, Robert is going to be a big thing on what he's going to do. You have a lot of guys that have just getting caught with the injury bug, and even if they didn't have the injury bug, you'd still be bad. Again, it's weird in being a division like the Central, because you're always, it seems like you could always be 2 years away. Again, like a lot of, I think we were high on the Royals, but again, 2 years ago, I don't think we could have said that the Royals were going to be in any stretch going to compete for something. And it looks like they maybe be able to compete for something. Again, the White Sox, any team in the Central is 2 years away. So it's, how can you be for 2 years in the future, maybe competing? And you have a bright spot in Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, sort of to counter that, if I'm them, I'm starting to look into some offers for Luis Robert, because I don't know how much better this is going to get. They have an absolutely atrocious butt booty ass farm system. It's horrible. It is so bad. There is no future in that farm system. And honestly, like, at least the Royals have had some hope in like the prospect, and they made some good signings in the offseason. I frankly, if you're gonna go to Chicago, why would you go to the White Sox? It's a tough sell, and I think that this could be a 5 years down the line, almost Orioles level type of rebuild.
The problem is in 3 points. The A's won, or the A's were 3-9. The White Sox are 3-18. So there, I know the A's sucked last year, but there's a different level right now between these White Sox versus last year's A's. Two, I think the biggest problem with the White Sox is, we mentioned these good players, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert, and Yoan Moncada. Very talented, but every single year they're hurt. Without exception, those guys are missing at least 60 games every single year, which, when that's your core, it's tough to build a winning and sustainable team. And three, it almost reminds me, and I don't think this would ever happen in real life, but you know, in Major League, when the owner wants the team to suck so bad that they can move the team to Miami, and they can only do that if they're part
of Major League.
Yeah. There's some people that might not know Major League, but the whole thing is that she can only get out of her contract in Cleveland if the attendance dips so low and the fans care so little and they lose so many games. You know, there's the rumors about Nashville. So if Jerry Reinsdorf has decided if we tank so hard and the fans stop showing up, we can get out of Chicago and go to Nashville, bring it on. And do I think it's happening? No. But would that be kind of sick if like 30 years from now, the whole like, how did the White Sox get out of Chicago? Oh, they major leagued their way. That'd be kind of cool. But anyways, topic number 3 or 4. It's not a big deal, but Aaron Judge, question mark?
Henry, you want to take this? Like, you want to go, or should I start with saying that we have nothing to worry about? Or do you want
to? It's just like, that's ridiculous. Like,
you have nothing to worry about. You want to know the reason you have nothing to worry about?
And it's not, he's Aaron Judge.
Not only is he Aaron Judge, but a couple things. One, they're 15-7. So that's the first thing. The other reason is because they have a guy. I'm not going to say his name.
But that's the next topic, by the way.
He has a 1077 OPS. And he's hitting .354 with a .470 on base. He's pretty good at baseball. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name's Juan Soto. So again, that's the big thing of, again, this is actually great for the Yankees, meaning like the whole problem with the Yankees, and Henry, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm an observer of a team that I hate. The big problem with them is that they've been very Aaron Judge centric. It's been, if Aaron Judge is on and we're playing well, we're good to go. But if he, and he hasn't really had been able to slow down, this is kind of the first slowing down we've seen of him, but more if he gets hurt, we're done offensively.
But yeah, now we got cooked in that stretch.
Exactly. But now, for two reasons, not only him, but Anthony Volpe seems to, you know, made some adjustments in the offseason. This seems like a more sustainable lineup because you have another top five player in baseball that you can have carry the offense because Volpe's improving. And again, you have some guys. Oswaldo Cabrera still has over an 800 OPS, even though he slowed down from his, like,
he does 290 batting average from my sweet cares.
Like, that's a good thing to hang your hat on, that you don't need Aaron Judge to be amazing for you guys to still be first in AL East.
Well, that was my, it's not a big deal, number 5, but the present value of Shohei Ohtani's contract was somewhere in the $430 million range. We'll put it nice and easy at 430. So it's not a big deal, but there's a chance that Juan Soto breaks that number.
Yeah, I think there's a high chance.
Wait, 430? Wait, what?
The present value of Ohtani's contract is 430.
How is that a thing?
Adjusted to inflation.
Yeah. Okay. With the you know, like, yeah, the deferrals and all that.
Yeah, sort of stuff. I think that there's like,
absolutely.
If you were to tell me he gets 12 years, 450, like,
I'm gonna be honest. Are any of us shocked, especially with how, I know it was a very like weird deal that went by this offseason. If we're here in February and the episode is Juan Soto gets 500 mil, are any of us surprised?
No.
Like, are any of us like, wow. No, I was like, wow, maybe you can judge on like maybe the years or maybe the amount, but like, I don't think any of us are like blown away.
Shocked, yeah.
Like, again, the guy's amazing. Like, if there's any guy right now in the, how many guys in the big leagues could warrant a $500 million contract? Juan Soto's one of them, and there's maybe a couple others, but
there's like three others.
There's three others when you take into account age. But again, going into, if he keeps the year up, and he, especially if he's able to nab an MVP, he's young. His game is something that is able, like, that guys are going to love to be able to sign on to, because, you know, it's not like a hobby bias situation where it's like, okay, yeah, he freaking raked, but you don't want to see his floor. Guy's always going to get on base. He's like the safest, not saying that he's going to, no matter what, live up to his contract, but he seems like the safest bet of a guy that you can have on your team because of what he does. Because even if he's not hitting, he's going to walk. Like, so many front offices are going to want this guy so bad because they know, hey, he can suck like he did in that first. We all said he sucked in his first stint in that first half with the Padres. And he still had a very good on-base percentage, because that's the type of baseball player he is, that even when he's not hitting, he's finding ways to get on, which means that you're always going to get value out of his contract.
Topic number six.
Sounds good.
It's not a big deal. Got it. I figured it out. But Dylan and Nico can kind of see the future when it comes to Cy Young Awards.
I mean, we're pretty good at what we do.
Boys are hot.
Reagan's looking good. Burns looking good. Wheeler.
Shoving.
Wheeler's.
It's an electric start.
Yeah. Wheeler's like, Scooble was my second place guy because I literally changed on the fly because the day that we were doing our prediction, our starting pitching rankings, Burns got traded. But yeah, I mean, we're pretty smart, Dylan, aren't we?
I legit, like, I'm not, if this is putting you on blast, I apologize. I don't remember. Who did you pick? Sash, do you even remember who you picked?
No, I think I had Strider up there, so it's just unfortunate.
Yeah. It happens.
Dylan gave me a nice rescinding when Sonny Gray was out for a month. He's like, you can rescind your pick. Well, I actually went into the year without an NL Cy Young
pick. I love it. Number seven, eight, whatever the hell we're on. The Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs will battle in a two-way battle for the NL Central, and the Pirates were indeed fake.
What, is this not exactly what I said? Did I not point to last year when they were like atop the National League for like 2 weeks and they fell back to earth? They're not a bad team. Not a good team, though. Man, they've got some nice pieces. They've got some fun players to watch. But they're not like a deep team.
Yeah, this team screams last year's Reds to me. And I think the big question is going to be where the Reds are this year, not to like kind of shift a little bit. But again, this is going to be a very big building year. They have a lot of pieces that they can bank on. They need to see what O'Neill Cruz is going to be. He has not looked like what they expected him to be through their first 22 games of the season. He just hasn't. They have the pieces, and I think this has the chance. A positive year this year is very similar to what the Reds were last year, where they're scraping at that wild card and kind of maybe barely missed it. And you're like, okay, maybe Skeens got a September call up. Maybe Skeens got a call up earlier. Maybe he didn't get a call up, but he's looked electric. Jared Jones looks like something we can build off of. Mitch Keller can be a solid piece. Cabrian Hayes, O'Neill Cruz. This could be a very good year for them to see, like, okay, when we're hot, like as the Reds, when they were hot, they had like a stretch where they looked like the best team in the NL Central. I think the Pirates could have a month like that where they had it at the beginning, but I think they can have a true stretch of over a month where it's like, hey, can this team make a push for the NL Central? And maybe they'll fade away again. But again, we kind of talked about it. I think this year is, again, more of them seeing what they can build off of because they do have a lot of good pieces.
How about, it's not a big deal, but the NL West is not as strong as we thought it would be.
I mean,
I gotta look out.
Is that just sort of saying that the Diamondbacks are mad?
In theory,
because like
the Dodgers are also
nobody was like truly sold on the Padres or the Giants. Like if you told anybody that they end up with disappointing seasons, nobody was going to be shocked by that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be better. I think that the Diamondbacks are going to be better. I think the Padres are going to be better. I think obviously the Dodgers are going to be better. Again, they've had a rough week. What are they? They're 3-7 in their last 10. Like they're not looking great. The Padres, you know, even though their record's around 500, they're kind of like top 10 in almost every category. It seems like, again, in like ERA, they're like 11th. Runs per game, they're 11th. They're kind of in that top 10, but where runs allowed, they go all the way down. So it seems like their defense is maybe selling them out a little bit. So hopefully that can get better. I think the Padres are going to be fine. I think they're all going to be fine. I think the Dodgers are going to run away with it because just they're so good. And I think that even though they're 13-11, I don't think anyone's sitting here thinking that the Dodgers aren't still a top five team in baseball. I mean, is anyone?
Dylan is.
No.
They're going to be like, I know a team that's better than them. But again, I think that they're going to be fine. I think that especially when they're going to go and as the season goes on and they're all going to beat up on each other and they're going to kind of get into the groove of their hot streaks, they're going to be all right. I think every single team there is going to be all right.
All right. We got to talk about it. It's not a big deal. The New York Mets might be back.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yes. Did they ever leave?
No. What place are the Mets?
Third place.
Yep.
So, and?
So not yet.
They're in a playoff spot.
They are. But they're not back.
Let's get in.
Again, they've looked great, but again, you're. I don't know if you're going to keep this as another topic.
The injury is going to be the next one, yes.
Okay, but they've looked good. They had a very good week, obviously, 8-2 this week. They had big series against the Dodgers and the Braves, again, swept the Pirates. Yeah, they've been on a very nice tear. Again, let's see, 2 out of 3 against the Braves, 2 out of 3 against the Royals, swept Pirates, 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. It's a very good week. Especially that it seems like it's going to get a lot easier. Again, Giants sub 500 team, Cardinals, meh. Cubs is going to be a little bit of a we'll see what you have. Rays, kind of the same thing. Cardinals again. And then in the middle of May, you're getting back to the Braves and Phillies. So you have, especially now, is like you can't let your foot off the gas now because you have about a 15 to 20 game slate where you can really make up ground until you get into a gauntlet where you're either going to make up a lot of games or you're going to get back a lot of games before you face the Marlins, which suck. But again, great week.
Henry.
Yeah. When you look at the numbers that the Mets put up, you can't hate on it. Like, it was an incredible week.
I think the thing to point out, because you said make up ground and you said, are they back yet? And you responded they're in third place. This is going to sound like a loser mentality. I don't think the Mets' goal is winning the division. I think,
but that's not what I'm saying like that. I'm saying they need to win games now because just in case those 7 games go poorly, they're not sitting in an abyss.
Okay. I think they also put, there was 100% when the Mets started the year 0-5, you guys and other Mets fans were like, the season is over. This team is trash. Steve Cohen and David Stearns, what did you do? And I think it goes back to the phrase of you're never as bad as you think you are and you're never as good as you think you are. Do I think the Mets, who over the last 2 weeks are on pace to win 130 games, are that good? No. Do I think the Mets, who at the first 2 weeks of the season were on pace to win 45 games? No. I think this is the team at the beginning of the year when we had our big argument that I said 85 to 87 wins to potentially reach 90 and get in as a wild card. And you guys all said I was crazy. That's not going to happen.
Well, we said you were crazy at, and you know it.
We're not opening that box again because that box was.
That you were crazy at is when we're ranking your top fives, you're like, the Mets are easily number 5.
Well, right now they're 5 in the National League based on record. So,
but that's what we're saying you're crazy at. Not like, oh, they could be an above 500 team.
Well, here they are sitting pretty at number 5 right now. So who was right? But
we're not also... you. We're 22 games into the year.
21. but no, we'll get into now the second part, though, that you were starting to allude to. The Alvarez injury. Elephant in the room. I've watched the Mets closely for the last 12 years, and the fact of Tomas Nito starting every day scares me, considering the downgrade that we just had. But I'm also not an expert on thumb injuries. I don't know if either of you guys are. I didn't know that thumbs had UCLs until today, but they do, and that's what he tore. Because the first time I saw the news that Francisco Alvarez tore his UCL, I was like, great, see you guys next year. But it turns out it's just a thumb UCL that apparently that's going to cost him 8 weeks, which is still sneaky a lot because that's July. Thoughts?
It's a huge blow.
Yeah, I mean, it's big. Again, hopefully, the biggest thing is that 2-4-1, I think we all think he's good, but he hasn't. Again, had the start to the season that we all kind of expected him to have, even though none of us, not all of us are Mets fans. I think that we did think he was going to improve this year. Hasn't really had that. So that's a little bit of a plus if you want something to hang your hat on. The other thing is, again, you guys are right now still 12-9, and Francisco Lindor is hitting 181 right now. So, again, yes, it's a big blow, but especially if Lindor can get back to being what we all expect Lindor to be, it will definitely not seem as big of a hole as it is, because I think that's why the hole is so big, because it's Francisco Alvarez is out and Lindor's hitting 181 right now. If Lindor can get back to being what Lindor is, I think that this hole is going to be mitigated by a lot.
Henry, anything you all got?
No, I mean, it's just...
Actually, I was going to ask Henry.
I feel bad. I feel bad because he's a very fun player to watch.
Henry, what? How does it make you feel that Luis Severino has a 2-1 ERA right now?
Again, did I not call it?
You did. Yeah,
you said that.
I'm just saying, it happened. How are you feeling?
I mean, frankly, he's one of those guys. Like there are some former Yankees who I'm just like, all right, I don't really care what happens. But then there are some who I'm just like, God, I just want you to be so incredibly good. And he's one of them. I really just want him to thrive and get himself a bag this offseason.
How the hell?
He said it was tipping, which like one of our pitcher blames tipping as the reason he stunk. I don't know if I believe it or not, but like he claimed the whole reason he was bad was because he tipped. So
That's odd. Why does he have 10 runs and only five of them are earned? That's wild.
Like
maybe he doesn't have
I was at like either his last or second to last start at Yankee Stadium. He threw like 6 innings, no runs. And my brother and I were like near tears because we're like, we are not re-signing this guy, but goddamn did we love him. I will die on the hill that he beyond has the talent. It's just about staying healthy and getting the opportunity.
All right, and then the last, it's not a big deal. I know we've had back-to-back Mets questions, so I hate to do a third, but I think it needs to be brought up. The Mets City Connects. Henry with the Yorkers, so.
I really do. I think that I can't think of a City Connect that hasn't gotten a decent amount of hate besides the Nationals one when it immediately got released. But we always end up just about neutral on them. I really like this one. I think that it's like is it a little boring? Yes. I saw people complaining like, where is purple in the Mets colors? I'm like, you freaking idiots. You guys are so stupid. They're definitely not the worst ones I've ever seen. I just honestly wish the pants matched.
Yeah.
White pants is the biggest problem.
My two things are, one, I hate the hat. I really hate it.
Yes, that's fair.
It seems like very like gimmicky. Like, you know, those like random like pop like shops that they make like those hats that are like fake.
Yeah.
And it's like all custom. And you're like, oh, it looks like one of those. And the other thing is, and I think this is more of an overarching thing for Nike that I hate to see.
Fanatics.
It seems like they really take their foot off the gas since the first year, like with these. Like
it's really disappointing.
Like meaning more as to like, again, compare them to the Southside ones. Like why isn't this one full pinstripes? Why did last year... why did the Diamondbacks have to switch from having their all creams to just the white? Like, why are we like making steps back? I understand the thought of making a big splash and like, but keep that going. Like, if you're going to do a thing of having pinstripes and it's going to be gray and black, don't have white pants.
I think the one thing I would have liked is the New York City skyline. I feel like that could have been cool. On the jersey somewhere.
Yeah.
I like the pink or the purple. The one thing someone pointed out to me, and it's sneaky is true, is that if you replaced purple and put green, it could have been the Yankee City Connect.
That's totally true. Yeah.
Like, no, there's nothing in there that's Queens. There's nothing in there that's the Mets history of Brooklyn Dodgers and New York Giants. Like, it's a pinstripe gray jersey with NYC on it. That sounds like a theme for a Yankees City Connect.
It's definitely not the most interesting, but it's not the abomination that some people were making it out to be, if that's fair.
I really don't like the hat.
I'm not going to buy one. I'll be like, I'll say that. I know.
I think it's a good jersey. Like, again, like you said, I agree with you guys. That doesn't really scream New York besides NYC. But it's not a bad jersey. I just really think the hat's hideous.
But let's round things off. It is that time of the week. Our players of the week. And then we've got our HK. I've got a nominee that I bet only a niche percentage of our audience knows. But if we'd like to go with our players of the week, and hopefully you guys have thought of them, and I'm rambling, but if you guys have not, I'll say mine.
No, say yours.
Shota Imanaga. Easy. Dominating. He finally gave up his first runs of the year, but he's currently sitting at a 0.84 ERA, 3-0, a whip at 0.75. Guy is electric. He is exactly what the Cubs could have hoped for. And again, one of the front runners for the Cy Young, easily giving him Imanaga his flowers, MVP of the week. Next.
Nico, you want it or should I take it?
I would love for you to go.
Okay. I'll give a guy who torched the Yankees this weekend, and it really got me thinking about the good old days when he was back in Cleveland. We were like, oh, is this the post Lindor middle infield of the future? Ahmed Rosario. Have yourself a week, dude. He's selling 700 this week. He was incredible. I mean, he's definitely had a hot start, and I know I've predicted the Rays to underperform, but seeing an Ahmed Rosario comeback season would fill my heart with a little joy.
Nico?
Very interesting. It's very interesting. I really don't
want to... You've got nothing?
No, it's just that I'm looking for someone other than who I already mentioned. But I'll give it to Zach Wheeler. I mean, Zach Wheeler just looked... Yeah. I think, again, it feels like we say this every year with Zach Wheeler, but I feel like it gets really underappreciated. Like, he's got to get a Cy Young at some point, right? Like, just, he always seems like he's right there and is always going to be a top three pitcher in the NL. And again, with how the start of the year is gone, and again, I think you can even say the Phillies rotation, I'm pretty sure they had a sub 0.5 ERA and like their last time through the rotation. Like, that's absurd. Like, having like that good of a stretch in your rotation. But again, Zach Wheeler's been the head of that. It seems like, again, if he can keep this up, and we all know about the consistency of Zach Wheeler, that especially when you have, again, maybe the other most consistent pitcher in the MLB getting traded to the other league, that this could finally be his year.
I like it. It's my Cy Young
pick. The thing is, I was like, it's the boring pick because I already mentioned him, so I was looking for someone on the fly to maybe change to, but I'm going to stick with him.
Okay, so now our HK of the week for fans that are loyal listening, and James isn't here this week, but he sent some nominees. I just texted him. He said one could be the Met City Connects. Thanks, James, because he's one of those guys. Two, he said, is the incident with Jacob Stallings today. I don't know if you guys saw it, but the fan interference reaching over.
Yeah.
They said that wasn't the whole, like, something weird that happened there. Whatever. That one could work. He said injuries again. I think he's referring to Alvarez. So that's three. And number four, it's a topic that we actually said we weren't going to touch in the pre-show. We talked about it, and we'll state the fact. And I'll state the fact only. Trevor Bauer went six innings, didn't allow a hit. He threw an immaculate inning. He dominated in a start. I believe he had 13 strikeouts, something like that. Facts.
Yeah, I mean, why is
that
HK? It's not the HK. So Trevor Bauer pitches for, I believe they're called the Diablos Rojos, and they defeated the Bravos de Leon. After the game, the Bravos tweeted something out. Quote, we are rivals in Spanish, according to Google Translate, which I'm great at. We are all rivals on the diamond, but we must recognize the great start from Trevor Bauer today. We are enjoying a great ball game. Let's go for the tie tomorrow, Braves. Imagine if a Major League Baseball team, say you're a Red Sox fan, and Garrett Cole shoves on a Friday night. And you see the Red Sox admin tweet out, great start by Garrett. We'll get him tomorrow. What?
No, that wins. That's it. Wild. That's absolutely insane.
That's wild.
And I'm like, they've got 40,000 followers. It says the official count of the Braves. It's a real, like, I'm showing you the tweet. That translates to roughly the same thing.
Diamante, pero hay que...
Right?
That's wild.
Like, I'm sorry. That's got to be our runaway winner for like, there's no way.
You post that.
Like, I don't know.
Like, I lost a baseball game today, and I don't want to talk to anyone. And it's club baseball. This is a professional baseball game. The admin's just like, hey, great start, bro.
Great start by Trevor against us. Only threw an immaculate inning, and we got no hits off of him. But great job, Trevor.
That's trying to tie it up tomorrow.
Great job by Bravos in enjoying this week's HK moment of the week. I think
congrats, guys.
There are other nominees. I think that's a far and away great job by admin there. But that pretty much wraps up the week. We will have some fun episodes later on with the draft, probably maybe even two on Wednesday and Friday. So make sure to check it in. And for Dylan, Nico, and Henry, follow along on the social medias. And the side is retired.